easy and comfortable for us to picture Jesus in this extraordinary fashion. And certainly it's important for us to see him this way. Jesus himself said, "I and the Father are one." John said of him, "He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made." Peter called him Son of the Living God. And Thomas once declared he was my Lord and my God. Jesus didn't correct either disciple. Jesus was fully divine, all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. And yet the Bible makes it clear he was also all-human. He was born as a man and became like a servant. He got colds. He grew weary on long walks, suffered from headaches and backaches and every other kind of ache. He likely had calluses on his hands and bunions on his toes. He snored and sneezed and hit his thumb with a hammer. He had to wipe the sweat from his eyes and the manure off his feet when he stepped in the wrong place on the road. For many of us, to think of Jesus in such a light seems almost irreverent. We would rather keep the humanity out of the incarnation. To picture him as a mighty miracle worker rather than one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. There's something about keeping Jesus divine that keeps him distant, packaged, predictable. But let's remember that the people who saw him first saw him as a person. Jesus appealed to them because he was one of them, a member of their community, of their neighborhood. Often when we read the Bible, it's hard for us to picture him this way. The location is foreign to us. The customs are odd. The politics are just confusing. It's hard for us to relate. But what would it look like if Jesus were to come to our neighborhood today? Who are the people on the block he would meet? How would he respond to them? What would they think of him? This is what we will look at in this study, how the people of the day saw Jesus as a real person, how Jesus broke through all kinds of social barriers to reach them. And we will start with this fellow, the one up in the tree. Joseph was a respected man back in his hometown. He was well established and happy there. And recently, he had become engaged to a lovely young lady. He liked having his feet squarely on the ground. It was stable, reliable, predictable. He had roots there. The problem was that God had asked him to go out on a limb. And this limb was not near the ground. No, it was quite a bit higher up the tree. Joseph, no doubt, had gasped. The first time he spied it, he had never seen one so thin. There was no place to sit and get comfortable, no protection from the weather. Surely God wasn't really asking him to go up there. Common sense told him not to go out on the limb, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Come on. Self-defense told him not to do it. Who will believe me? And what will our families think? Convenience told him not to do it, just when I was hoping to settle down and raise a family. And pride told him not to do it. If she expects me to buy a tail like that. Besides, Joseph was well aware of the kind of fella who went out on a limb. Radical, extremist, always stirring the leaves, guys with their heads full of strange ideas in search of foreign fruit. The stable ones, Joseph reasoned, were those who knew how to stay close to the trunk and leave well enough alone. But still, the problem persisted. For still, God persisted, and so Joseph was left with a hard choice: follow his will or the Lord's. In the end, he knew there was only one option. For the only thing worse to Joseph than a venture into the unknown was the thought of denying his master. So, resolute, he had reached up and started to climb with